We begin with the first reading from the first book of Kings. Solomon called the elders of Israel together in Jerusalem to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord up from the citadel of David, which is Zion. All the men of Israel assembled around King Solomon in the month of Ethanim at the time of the feast, that is, the seventh month. And the priests took up the Ark and the tent of meeting with all the sacred vessels that were in it. In the presence of the Ark, King Solomon and all Israel sacrificed sheep and oxen, countless and innumerable. The priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the Debir of the temple, that is, in the Holy of Holies under the cherubs' wings. For there, where the Ark was placed, the cherubs spread out their wings and sheltered the Ark and its shafts. There was nothing in the Ark except the two stone tablets Moses had placed in it at Horeb, the tablets of the covenant which the Lord had made with the Israelites when they came out of the land of Egypt. They are still there today. Now, when the priests came out of the sanctuary, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and because of the cloud, the priests could no longer perform their duties. The glory of the Lord filled the Lord's temple. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has chosen to dwell in the thick cloud. Yes, I have built you a dwelling, a place for you to live in forever." And our gospel reading from the Gospel according to Mark. Having made the crossing, Jesus and his disciples came to land at Gennesaret and tied up. No sooner had they stepped out of the boat than people recognized him and started hurrying all through the countryside and brought the sick on stretchers to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, to village or town or farm, they laid down the sick in the open spaces, begging him to let them touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all those who touched him were cured. Our homiletic reflection for today. We could say that if the Bible is anything to go by, and we Christians stake a lot on it, God is certainly one for being very available to us creatures, anytime, anywhere, and even when we failed to appreciate it. Take the Old Testament readings, for example. Not only our reading for today, but a host of other readings tell how at the covenant on Mount Sinai, God instructs Moses to build a tent sanctuary so that, as the text says in Exodus 25, verse 8, "I may dwell among them." Despite this, the people soon turned to worship a golden calf instead of their God. Yet God persists in being available to the people. The sanctuary is built, and God is a happy camper in a tent, leading the people from this tent sanctuary for 40 years through the wilderness until they reach the promised land. And along the way, according to the book of Numbers, the people repeatedly fail to celebrate and worship the God who journeys with them in the tent. Once in the land, the symbol of God's presence, the Ark of the Covenant, resides in a number of places. God is very flexible until eventually it ends up in the temple in Jerusalem, as our first reading from the first book of Kings tells us. And while the temple assumes a certain central importance, the biblical text is careful later on in chapter 8 to assure those who can't travel to Jerusalem that their prayers will be heard as long as they pray towards the temple. They are as in touch with God as if they were in the temple itself, with all its accompanying symbols to assure worshippers that God is present to them there. Eventually, according to the prophets, the people's infidelity becomes so gross that God leaves the temple, as portrayed in the dramatic vision in the book of Ezekiel. But this is only until the land and Jerusalem are purified, when God will again return to a new and even more wonderful temple to once again be completely available to the people. As we turn to our gospel reading from Mark, it develops this theme of God's availability and nearness to us, with its portrayal of Jesus being touched, poured at, and clung to by all those who are desperately ill. One can almost imagine him being pulled this way and that by the sick and their helpers. Yet he makes himself completely available to those in need because he knows their need. And one senses in Mark's account a distant preparation of Christ's sacramental presence, in which he is more really and readily available to us believers than he was even to those portrayed in the Gospel. And of course, we are much more in need of his healing touch than the physically ill he encountered during his earthly ministry. The graphic image of people touching Jesus and pulling at his clothes also calls to mind that later, much brutal scene in the Gospel, where people touch Jesus in quite another way by beating him and rip off his clothes before crucifying him. We human beings value our sense of touch very highly, and rightly so. Yet we can use it in both a loving, gentle way and a violent, abusive way. A touch can bring life, another kind of touch can bring death. But even when we do it in the deathly way, as the Gospel Passion accounts recount, Jesus responds to our violent touch with the gift of life, just as he responded to the sick people in Mark's Gospel with the gift of healing. As Paul says, we may be unfaithful, but he is ever faithful. Perhaps a prayer for our day is that we may use the precious gift of touch to signal our love and care of others, and that we may gratefully receive in return their touch as a sign of their love and their care.